Okay, so let's get started with the community. First of all, it says it's dedicated to the memory of the Rebbetzin of Talna, Rebecca Twersky. So who is the Rebbetzin of Talna? Anybody want to guess? Anybody know? We see Twersky. Twersky rings a bell. There's some mishpacha connection. I believe the Rebbetzin of Talna was the Rav's in-law. That the Rav's daughter married her son. And so Rav Meir Twersky is the grandson of the Rav, who's, I think it was his father's, right, of course it must be, his father was a Twersky, so this is Rav Twersky's grandmother, the Rebbetzin of Talna. I think that Rav Twersky might officially be the Rebbe of Talna, or honor of his brother, I'm not exactly sure. Okay, lo mishan. This was given, I think maybe in the yahrzeit of the Rebbetzin of Talna. Doesn't really make a difference, the content is just a general essay. What does it say at the bottom? It was given the Conference of Jewish Communal Service in Boston. Okay, very good. Very good. So it says Rav Soloveitchik. The beginning, I wonder if this is like a style amongst many essays, but like Halachic Man jumps out at me. Rav Soloveitchik will have just like a general philosophical, a little bit of laying the groundwork for like different categories and different ways of understanding things before he gets to the more like the Judaism-focused unique auras and contributions he has. So here also a little bit, like very, it's not a long essay, but the first page or so, in general, right? The very instant we pronounce the word community, we recall by sheer association the ancient controversy between collectivism and individualism. Right? You talk about a community, and Rav Soloveitchik is talking about a time, 1976, you guys were born after the fall of communism. I was not. I kind of remember the fall of communism. But the whole nature of communism, I mean, the fall of communism in the former Soviet Union, but the idea of communism is that each little person in this big giant culture, this big giant society, just a cog in the giant machine, that people, at least the way it can be taken to the extreme, no individual person has inherent value. What gives somebody value? The fact that you're able to work together and create something bigger than yourself. Everybody's able to contribute. Everybody's able to give. And from the ideal communistic perspective, it doesn't make a difference what you're doing. You could be the garbage man. You could be the scientist. Everybody should be paid equally. Everybody should be viewed equally. We're all there together to add our contribution and to create something greater, which is a nice idea. But at the same time, it kind of gets rid of the importance and the significance of being an individual. Okay? But there's this machlokas between the different worlds. About in America, obviously, the Western world very much focused on the individual. I do sling because I like it. I do sling because it's meaningful to me, and maybe to the extreme. But our modern Western society is very, very focused on the individual. Okay, so Rav Soloveitchik says, if you think about a community, it's a machlokas between collectivism, right, being collective, being together, and individualism. Willy-nilly, I've only seen in the Rav's writings. I don't know. I'm sure it existed before the Rav. But willy-nilly, I think it means therefore, something like that, the old problem of who and what comes first arises. Right? You're thinking about you're balancing an individual and the tzibur. Is the individual an independent free entity who gives up basic aspects of his sovereignty in order to live within a communal framework? Or is the reverse true? The individual is born into the community, which in turn invests him with certain rights. This perennial controversy is still unresolved. Okay, so what does it mean? Am I born? I'm an individual. I can, in theory, maybe I can even try to make it on my own. But I join the society in order to get some benefits, in order to make some contributions. Or is it the opposite? I only am born as part of a group, and maybe I can try to be porish from that group. But it's like, what's the natural state of human beings? Are they individuals? Or are they part of a tzibur? Today, the controversy transcends the limits of theoretical debate. People try to resolve it, not by propounding theories or by participating in philosophical symposia in the halls of academia, but by resorting to violence and bloodshed in the jungles of Asia and Africa. Okay, so there's machlokas going on about socialism, about communism, about democracy. Different perspectives. Also just interesting to think about it, having these two worlds in mind, about the different attitudes and the different approaches of the different places in the world towards corona, right? When you look in China, what happened? What happened when it broke out? So, I mean, I didn't read that much about it, but from what I understand, they literally locked people up into their houses. If people would leave their houses, they would be put into jail, maybe worse, I don't know. And the whole idea that you have to do your part for the collective good. You have no choice. You have no say. That's what it is. It's that we all have to be in this together. If we're all going to work in this together, we can get over this. But you don't have any right to decide for yourself if that's too much for you. And Masha Einkin in America, where the idea of having businesses be closed, the idea of having social gatherings be prevented, that really, really bothered people. Ad kedei kach, some people were just refusing to listen to it. Because in America, we're individuals, we get to decide things for ourselves, we can't have a police state that's going to tell us what to do. So these different attitudes of their approaches to corona really reflects the idea of how much should we focus on society as being lots of individuals, and people should be able to figure things out for themselves. And how much is society, we're all one group, we're all in this together, well, I don't care about what you think, what you care about, what you feel as an individual, it's all about what we can do together to make, as a collective, to make something greater than ourselves. Okay. Let's go down to the next paragraph. Let's ask a simple question. What does Judaism say about this conflict, right? What is it? What are we? Are we only important as members of a group, or are we individuals? So, of course, if you're reading an essay by Rav Soloveitchik, and he's asking a chakira, so the answer must be Tzvei Dinim, right? He's not just going to end up saying, and the answer is A, or the answer is B. Obviously, that's not going to be the answer. The answer is going to be a little bit of both, okay? In a more complicated kind of way. And let us give a simple answer. What's a simple answer? Judaism rejects both alternatives. Neither theory per se is true. Both experiences, that of aloneness as well as that of togetherness, are inseparable basic elements of the I awareness. This essay, especially what we're going to be seeing this week in Meretz Hashem, we're not going to have so many haaros yet on Avodas Hashem, but I feel like it's so insightful. I know it's very interesting to think about, as in Meretz Hashem, you guys are thinking about dating and marriage, and just in general, what it means to be a person, what it means to be part of a group. Just really interesting ideas here. Okay, so the Bible tells us that God created a single individual, a lonely being. Vayitzer, this is another interesting ha'ara. I don't know, it's another ha'ara that the Psukim Rav Soloveitchik is quoting here, all from Perek Beis. Rav Soloveitchik has, in his essay, Lonely Man of Faith, and really in other smaller essays also, but the idea that you should understand Bereishis Aleph and Bereishis Beis as being two different descriptions, two different expressions of what the nature of humankind is. For Rav Soloveitchik, the first parak is more about man as part of as a person who's coming to be part of the group. I think somebody's coming to improve society by making it function better. Am I remembering it correctly? That there one is more he's there to get dignity. It almost relates to what we saw the other week. But in parak Aleph, I feel like Hashem never really speaks to Adam in Perek Aleph. Hashem just speaks to mankind as a whole. So I think Rav Soloveitchik is talking more about, he's looking at Adam as an individual, he's looking at Perek Beis. Okay? But even within the story of Adam as an individual, he's both an individual and he's also part of a group. What do I mean? Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min ha'adama vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim vayhi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. So when Adam is created, he's created alone, right? The Bible also tells us that the Almighty, having created Adam, said, "Lo tov yose Adam levado, eselo ezer kenegdo." Right? God created Eve and brought her to Adam. Vayivin Hashem Elokim es hatzela shelakach min Adam liisha vayiviha el haAdam. Okay, so we have these two descriptions. Adam was created alone, but then Hashem says, "But it's not good to be alone. You have to be in some sort of partnership, in some sort of group." Who comes first? The community, the pair, right? The only community you could have, it's two people, is two. But you have this community, this tzibur, as it were, of Adam and Chava, or man, or woman alone. Who takes precedence? Adam and Eve, in the utter loneliness which both of them experienced at the hour of creation. Or Adam and Eve, as a couple, after they had been brought together to become united in marriage. Okay. As we have indicated before, both the community-related and the lonely individual, be he man, be he woman, were created by God. Okay, see, so I think what Rav Soloveitchik is deflecting here is don't say, oh, it depends. If you're a man, you should be alone, because Adam was created alone. And if you're a woman, you should also be part of a group, because he was created with Adam. He says, no, that's not the way to read the Psukim. Right? Be he man or be she woman were created by God, hence it would be absurd to equate the biblical doctrine with either philosophical alternative. The answer to the problem is rather a dialectical one. Namely, man is both. He is a single, lonely being, not belonging to any structured collectivity. He is also a thou-related being. He connects to you, to somebody else, who coexists in companionship with somebody else. Okay, Antonin Ostrovejchik has not said anything, I think, too deep. But he's saying so far, as he's developing it, that Adam, if you look at the way Adam was created, he was first alone, and then he was part of a group. It must be, says Rav Soloveitchik, and I don't think he's saying it dafka because of the diuk in these psukim. I think he's saying it because of also the psukim, but also just his understanding of humanity. And that is that we are two types of people. We're people who thrive as being part of a group. We're people who maybe even feel a need to be part of a group, who are supposed to be part of a group, but at the same time, we're supposed to be individuals. Okay, in fact, the greatness of man, and this idea, we'll just read it and then explain, manifests itself in his inner contradiction, in his dialectical nature, in his being single and unrelated to anyone, as well as in his being thou-related and belonging to a community structure. This idea that you have the thesis and the antithesis, the idea that you have, like we saw in the essay we saw the other week about, what was it, dignity? What was the other alternative? There is dignity and maybe humility. I forget the two things. But we have a certain desire to explore the world, to understand, to conquer. We also have a desire, we have a need to just be, by ourselves, with our shorashim, with our roots, and not going out too far. And somehow these two things working together, they bring out the most of what a human being can accomplish. That idea of that we have different things that are pulling us in different directions, and only when we can kind of harness these things and use them together can we contribute as much as we can to the world and to ourselves. That idea appears in a lot of Rav Soloveitchik's essays. In Lonely Man of Faith, and Halachic Man over here. But the idea that, how do we achieve greatness? We achieve greatness because we feel pulled in different directions. And the way that we can somehow deal with those different needs, that helps us accomplish many different things and be more creative, and we'll have to see what it means here. Okay, let us investigate this strange philosophy of man, which seems to embrace two mutually exclusive outlooks. Permit me, however, to preface the analysis with the following remarks. Should we read this? Okay. Should we read this paragraph? All he's saying in this paragraph, in number one, is that we should know when... There are different ways of thinking about these kinds of questions. If you want to know, should a person be part of society? So you could ask that question as from a philosophical, economic standpoint about what's the best, right? There's a school of thought, utilitarianism, that it's good for people in society if what is good. What's good is what will end up bringing the most happiness to the most amount of people. You could ask these questions of what will make man happiest? What will make man most successful? To be alone or to be part of a group? So Rav Soloveitchik, that's not our issue here. It's not what's the best for him, what will make him most successful, where will he accomplish the most. The question is, in terms of his neshama, right? What's he supposed to be? Where will he be able to reach his tafkid, or however you want to say it? Or his the human charisma, the amago dei, the telem elokim, right? What is it? Where does it express itself? When he's alone? When he's thinking about, what makes me me? What can I do as an individual? When he's part of a group, and he's part of the minion, and he's part of the shir, and he's getting from people and giving to people, where is this telem elokim shining through the brightest? Okay. Right, the community, in paragraph 2, in Judaism, this is now a big yesod in Rav Soloveitchik's writings. It comes up in Al HaTshuva, it comes up in some of his shiurim, it comes up in other of his essays. The idea of the community, if you want to understand what it means to be part of the community in Judaism, another important ha'aras is Rav Soloveitchik. The community in Judaism is not a functional utilitarian, but an ontological one. Ontological, I believe, means relating to existence. That the community of Am Yisrael, it's not there so we can all make more money. It's not there so we can all build bridges and pave roads and have hospitals and everybody will be healthier and wealthier and happier. That's not the point of the community in Judaism. It's an ontological one. It's there because somehow we have a certain mission, we have a certain purpose of our existence, and the community can further that purpose. Okay, that's the point of the Jewish community. The community is not just an assembly of people who work together for their mutual benefit, but a metaphysical entity, an individuality. So I think what Rav Soloveitchik is saying here is, if you view the community as merely individuals, like a communist perspective, individuals working together to be able to accomplish a lot together, then you have a million individuals. But in Judaism, it's even more than that. Not only is it a different focus, it's not about, how can we be the most successful? It's about how do we reach our purpose in life? But more than that, the Tzibur, from the Jewish perspective, it's not a million individuals. It's one entity called the Tzibur, right? But a metaphysical entity, individuality, I might say a living whole. In particular, Judaism has stressed the wholeness and the unity of Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish community. The latter is not a conglomerate, right? It's not just a bunch of different parts. It is an autonomous entity, right? It exists on its own. Am Yisrael is more than the sum of its parts. It's its own thing. It's called Am Yisrael. It's called the Tzibur. Endowed with a life of its own. We, for instance, lay claim to Eretz Yisrael. God granted the land to us as a gift. To whom did he pledge the land? Neither to an individual, nor to a partnership consisting of millions of people. He gave it to the Knesset Yisrael, to the community as an independent unity, as a distinct juridic metaphysical person. Okay, fine. So, Sister of Soloveitchik, the idea when we talk about a tzibur, an Am Yisrael, you should realize two important things. First of all, we're not talking about a pragmatic tzibur. We're not talking about a group of people who's working to become the most successful and helpful to each other. I mean, that could be we're also doing that. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is we have a Torah, we have a mission, we have a purpose, and we feel like as a tzibur we can reach that purpose better. But also, Sister of Soloveitchik, the tzibur, from a Jewish perspective, it's not just a million individuals. It's one entity called the Tzibur. That's how connected we are to each other. We become this one unit. Okay. Now, let's look at this. I believe this is where it starts to get back to the original Chakira. Individuality versus being together. Okay, this is a very important paragraph. The personalistic unity and reality of community, such as Knesset Yisrael, the idea that we're unified, okay, that we're this unique entity called Knesset Yisrael, is due to the philosophy of existential complementarity of the individuals belonging to the Knesset Yisrael. What does that mean? I believe what Rav Soloveitchik is saying here is that if your perspective is that Am Yisrael, let's get a little bit Kabbalistic here even, the idea that there's 600,000 types of neshamas, whatever exactly that means. But I think about things a little bit different than the way Yonatan thinks about it, than the way Yitzi and Raziel think about it. We all have different neshamas, we have different personalities, we have different ways of thinking about things. So each of us cannot understand everything completely, and each of us cannot do everything completely, because we're limited. We have something which is unique to us, but that also means that none of us has everything within us. We all have a unique neshama, but not the entirety of what anybody could possibly have. So the idea that Am Yisrael is a unit, it's because it's almost like a puzzle, that everybody is adding their little piece, and together we become whole. The fact that when we're together and everybody is contributing their unique contribution, then we have the entirety of what everybody could possibly do in this world, or understand in this world. I think that's what Rav Soloveitchik is getting at. The individuals belonging to the community complement one another existentially, right? We have something in our existence, in our being, that the other people don't have. Each individual possesses something unique, rare, which is unknown to others. Each individual has a unique message to communicate, a special color to add to the communal spectrum. Hence, when lonely man joins the community, he adds a new dimension to the community awareness. He has something he's adding to the community. He contributes something which no one else could have contributed. He enriches the community existentially. He's making it something more. There's like something added in terms of what it's able to do. He is irreplaceable. Okay, Judaism has always looked upon the individual as if he were a little world. With the death of the individual, this little world comes to an end. So what Soloveitchik is saying is that, what is a world? The world is that it's everything. So each of us are a little bit of everything because we can't be replaced. There's nothing like us anywhere else. Everybody's a little bit of the world, but nobody is whole. The only way we can become whole is by joining together, and all of our uniquenesses complement each other, and we become this one unit called Am Yisrael. Okay, we're going to skip a little bit. Okay, let's read this. These two traits of the community, right, individuality and complementarity, that we're part of a community where there is individuals, where there is contributing our individual contribution, our unique contribution, but we're also there because I need to receive and I need to be part of this bigger group that only together can we really do everything. We find in the biblical portrayal of the marriage community, the latter consists of two unique personalities. The male and female represent two different existential experiences. Man and woman differ, not only as natural beings, but as metaphysical persona as well. right? That this is Rav Soloveitchik talks about this also in many of his essays. The idea that just like mother and father are different types, and just like Aaron and Moshe are different types of Din and Rachamim, that man and woman are different types. Obviously, you could have a man who's more feminine, or a female who's more masculine. It can happen, and it doesn't have to be perfect for each individual. But the idea that as a whole, there is a more male way of understanding things and acting, and a more female way of understanding things and acting. Okay, so men and women are unique. Men and women differ not only as natural beings. I read that. Man is man in all his thoughts and feelings, while the same is true of the woman. She's a woman in all her whole existential experience. When both join in matrimony, a community of two incommensurate beings, they're not equal, is formed. Woman and man complement each other existentially. Together they form not a partnership, but an individuality, a persona. What's Rav Soloveitchik saying? It's that the idea of marriage, right? Adam and Chava were created and then they joined together. That's a model for a community, says Rav Soloveitchik. Just like in the marriage, you have two people who are very different, but they come and they form a whole, right? Al kein yazov ish esaviv esimo v'davak b'ishto v'yu l'basar echad. They should somehow become this oneness. That they become this new family. That's a whole community. That's a one thing. It's called a couple. Couple is one. At the same time, it's made by these two individuals. These very different individuals. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik here. We're not going to necessarily read through all of it. If you guys didn't read it yet, so I recommend reading it. I plan on doing a couple more pages here and three more pages. And picking up with Mir Tesham next time with the continuation. So we're not going to be able to get through everything, but I recommend looking at it yourselves at some point. But the idea that Rav Soloveitchik is saying here is that it almost gets a little bit depressing in his description here. But even when you have this couple, this beautiful family, this young family, the man and woman, and they're this unit, they never quite lose their individuality. And he describes, I never read this book, in footnote number 7, he's quoting a story, The Death of Ivan Ilyich, by Tolstoy, but apparently describes some sort of experience of a couple that, because of some sort of disease, they end up, their love ends up leading to a disinterest, to separation, not marriage separation, but just like being distant from each other, and eventually hatred. So Soloveitchik is saying, even this community, which is so close and so loving, but they're still individuals. They're never going to be completely whole together. Okay? Completely unified together. Okay. And since Rav Soloveitchik, even Bezer Anpin, even in a small way, whenever somebody is part of this, he's his marriage, because it's something that people can, I feel like, relate to. But even when you have this couple that's so together and so loving and understands each other, they're still going to be separate. He brings the example of the young mother and she's waking up, and the husband's still sleeping, which is a very practical example. These things happen very often. Husband's still sleeping, and he's not waking up, and she's like getting annoyed at him, and she's getting annoyed at her baby. And so what's Rav Soloveitchik seeing from there? What he sees in that experience is the idea that she loves her child, obviously. She loves her husband. She loves the idea that they're this family. But at the same time, she can never shake off, and she's not supposed to shake off, the sense that she's still an individual. And sometimes she can feel a little bit alienated, a little bit irritated. She wouldn't be annoyed at herself if she woke up in the middle of the night, maybe a little bit, but not the same way. Meaning the idea that she's still going to be different, and she's still going to have her own needs and her own feelings. She's not supposed to get to the point where they're literally all one. She still can have this sense of alienation, of being separated, being distant from these people that she's so closely in a community with. Okay, now let's go over here, and we're going to stop soon. This is, I think, maybe the crux of this section. Okay. He says over here, why was it necessary to create lonely man? Why was social man not created at the very outset, right? If we're here to be part of this community, especially in Judaism, there's so many things that the tzibur can do. I need to be part of the tzibur to do. So why didn't Hashem just make the group? He made Adam and Chava, or make a whole community together. We need to be working together. Why? What's the value of looking at man's creation and therefore the nature of man as being an individual? What's the point? So he says, number one, the originality and creativity in men. I feel like this is so important, especially for Shalavim. Now that this is only for Shalavim, obviously, this year that we're recording, but the idea that this is important. The originality and creativity in man are rooted in his loneliness experience, not in his social awareness. The singleness of man is responsible for his singularity, the latter for his creativity. Social man is superficial. He imitates, he emulates. Lonely man is profound. He creates, he is original. Says Rav Soloveitchik, why is it important? Why is it important to look at man as being an individual? He says, because that's when we're really our best in some ways. That's when we can do the most. If we're just part of a group and we're just doing what everybody else does, that's what Soloveitchik says in the next thing also. The idea that when we're part of a group, a lot of times there's peer pressure, we're doing what everybody else is doing. We need somebody to be an individual, to tell people, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Or, you know what, I feel like we could do something better. You have to look at things as an individual. But if somebody's only doing what the group does, if somebody's only feeling like this social pressure, he's never really going to grow himself. He's only going to be doing things because that's what everybody's doing. He's only going to be doing it because he thinks that's what the person next to him wants him to be doing. A person, if he really wants to build himself and really wants to contribute, so he has to be original. He has to be himself. Okay? Yeah, this is very important. Okay, we're going to skip a little bit, giving examples. Okay, this is just a nice thing, right? Don't we American Jews experience a sense of heroic loneliness and alienation from the general society whenever the problem of Israel comes up in conversation? And we recognize the incommensurability, right? The impossibility of being miyashev, right, of our viewpoint with that of the international political community. Lonely man is a courageous man, right? We need chutzpah. We need that. That's part of what makes people people. That's what makes them successful people. We have to stand up for what we believe in. And we're just part of a group, so we'll feel the need to agree with whatever the group is saying. But no, we American Jews, Sister of Soloveitchik, we know the importance of not always doing what the group is doing. We know you have to stand up for what we believe in and what's right. Okay, that's the idea of being levado, of being an individual, of being alone, is that we'll think about what's right for ourselves, we'll do and we'll develop ourselves as individuals, and we're going to tell people what we think is the MS, even if it's not always going to be popular. That's why it's so important to have Adam be individual. However, man was created a second time. He fell asleep, right? And he was created again. Right? To exist, I'll go to the next paragraph. To exist alone is not good, said the Lord Hashem. Man is not only a protester. He can't always be the person who's there to tell people why he disagrees, why he thinks that he has to do things differently. He is an affirmer too, right? He's also agreeing. He's going along. He has to build and contribute as part of a group. He can't do everything alone, right? He's not only an iconoclast, somebody who's standing and saying, no, you're wrong, we did things differently, but a builder as well. If man always felt remote from everybody and everything, then the very purpose of creation cannot be achieved. What's the very purpose of creation? I guess presumably to do Hashem's mitzvos, to make the world a better place. No one person can do that on his own. There are certain mitzvos I can't do. And there are certain things that I'm just not built to do. It's not what my personality is going to let me do. We have to do it together. Okay? So Sister Soloveitchik, the yesod so far, and we'll have to stop here, the idea that from the psukim of creation, but also just from looking at the world, Sister Soloveitchik, there's two aspects of our personalities. There's us as individuals, and there's us as part of a group, but we need both. We need to be individuals, because only by being individuals can we be creative, can we make our unique contributions, can we be honest to ourselves and develop ourselves. But at the same time, we have to be part of a community, because we can't do everything alone. We literally can't, and also spiritually, we're not able to. We have to be part of a tzibur, and only then can we really come to bring the world and ourselves to our ultimate fulfillment. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Mirta Hashem, we'll pick up next time with the second section of the essay. You guys have any questions?